Hi, I'm Penny Mulvey. Welcome to Women of Hope. Drug use and abuse are a significant part of our culture. A beer or two or more with the mates at the pub is an Australian tradition. Binge drinking is of major concern amongst not just young adults, but increasingly amongst adolescents, both boys and girls. Smoking might kill, but it does not stop young people taking up the habit. Many people have a dependence not just on illicit over-the-counter medication, but also on illicit drugs, which as habits and addiction grow, lead to increasingly dysfunctional lives. There are programs, support groups, government finance, advertising campaigns, but none make much of a dent in the problem. Perhaps the cart is too often put before the horse. The why question needs to be asked. Why do people go on a self-destructive path? Why do they feel so bad about themselves? What has happened either in their present or past lives to create an environment for self-harm? Today we will seek to examine some of the reasons for drug abuse, what parents and partners can do to support their loved ones who are using, where to go when you are desperate, if you are a parent embarking on adolescence, what you can do to drug-proof your son or daughter, and ultimately the yearning we all have for unconditional love and acceptance. Joining me are psychologists Ruth Kennedy and Glenn Williams. Ruth works with young people and Glenn is the founding director of Focus on the Family Australia. Later in the program, we will speak with Stephen Lanini, who is a Salvation Army caseworker. Steve works at the Coalface. His role is to get alongside the homeless, the drug addicted, and the desperate. He understands the problems, but he also has great optimism, a hope that is captured so wonderfully in this song. On Women of Hope this week, we are exploring drug and alcohol abuse, and how we can respond and support those close to us who become enmeshed in the drug culture. How to Drug-Proof Your Kids is an education, prevention and intervention program developed by Focus on the Family Australia. Joining me is founding director, psychologist Glenn Williams. Glenn, welcome back to Women of Hope.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Glenn, why do kids take drugs?
Well, I mean, kids take drugs for all sorts of different reasons. Firstly, that of peer pressure. Their friends are perhaps trying it, or they have friends who are coming to a party, they're bringing marijuana or they're bringing alcohol or whatever. I mean, there is that pressure to be part of that group, to be accepted into that group. I think the second one was that of the conflicting messages that we often send our kids. We're saying, look, don't do drugs, but at the same time, our own behaviour is conflicting with that. We're actually showing them that by the way that, or the way that we cope with our stresses of life is by going to the medicine cabinet or by having a beer or a glass of wine to get through that particular situation. So there's that aspect of modelling. They pick that sort of message up from our behaviour. I think the third thing is that there are other cultural factors, change, tolerance, different values. You know, we are, unfortunately, a society that is a lot more tolerant of people's values in respect to drug use. There are many out there who actually believe that some of our illicit drugs today ought to be decriminalised and made legal. Mm. So there is a growing acceptance to some degree of these things, and that's always alarming to parents.
Mm. You haven't talked about self-worth.
Yeah, look, I mean, self-worth is certainly another one, and in fact, in the program, How to Drug-Proof Your Kids, we talk about how parents can help to nurture and develop a healthy self-esteem in their child. I think, again, that's part of helping a child become more resilient as they face different pressures as they grow up as a teenager. So self-worth, if you are lacking confidence and have a low self-esteem, again, you will try many different things. You'll take a risk in order to be accepted to a group of people, a group of friends that you want to belong to. But there are other reasons why kids use drugs, not being able to cope with a particular crisis or a situation.
Like a boyfriend-girlfriend breakup.
Boyfriend-girlfriend breakup. Mm. It might be family breakdown, conflict in the family, parental separation, stress.
Not going well at school.
Lack of finance, not doing well at school. A whole range of different things like that. And again, that leads to another one, and that of depression.
You mentioned kids model some of our behaviour relating to drugs and alcohol.
One of the sessions of the How to Drug-Proof Your Kids program, it's a fairly confronting exercise where we encourage parents to examine their own behaviour, their own attitudes and beliefs about drugs themselves. Does it actually conflict with the messages that they're trying to give their child? If on the one hand, for example, you've said, well, you know, I've had an incredibly tough day in the office or working on site, you know, I go home, I go to the medicine cabinet, I grab a Panadol, or I go to the fridge and I grab a beer, whatever, just to help me cope with the stress of my day. I'm not going to say that the actual act of those is wrong, but it's the communication of the message with that you've just sent to your child, that the way that you cope with stress is by taking something.
Apart from modelling, what else can parents do, Glenn?
I think the first thing that parents can do is that they need to be informed about drug use, about drugs. For example, you know, I've heard one young girl express to me how, you know, her parents would just sort of say, you know what, if you smoke marijuana, well, then your hair's going to fall out. Well, you know, most of us know that if you do that, your hair's not going to fall out. And in fact, you know, she made the comment, well, a lot of my friends smoke marijuana, or some of my friends smoke marijuana, their hair doesn't fall out, you know. So you've just lost all credibility as a parent by imparting that wisdom.
I actually think kids know more about the drugs than we do.
Look, they do, and I think that in itself is an issue for parents, because parents feel out of their depth. At the end of the day, they do feel that their children know more about drugs than what they do, and so therefore don't say anything, because they'd rather not say something and be wrong or be challenged by their child than say anything at all. So that in itself is an issue. But look, there are some things, Penny, that parents can do. The first thing is being informed. You know, make sure that when you are talking about facts and things like that about drug use and that looking at the different drugs and the impact of drugs, you know, make sure you know what you're talking about. You don't have to know everything and keep it all stored up there in your memory. You know, have a good reference book at home where you can just refer to that from time to time. I think the second thing is just to be aware of your child's particular developmental stage. And I say that from the point of view, are they a teenager or a primary schooler? Obviously, if they're in the teenage years, well, they're going to be exposed more and more to drugs than perhaps you might have been when you were at school, in high school. And I think perhaps as by way of encouragement, what a parent needs to know there is that, you know, you can be the best parent, but, you know, that in itself is not a guarantee that your child won't use drugs. And you can have a great child, a loving child, and that's still no guarantee that they won't use drugs either. So, you know, what we're really saying is by being informed, by building a good, healthy relationship with your child, open communication, being able to talk about drugs without feeling awkward about the issue with your child, well, that's a great place to start.
And so in your drug program, there are things that parents can do quite proactively.
Very much so. And in fact, I think the statement that needs to be made here is that parents influence incredibly the choices made by their children. Often we fall into that trap of saying, look, it's too late, it's no good, it doesn't matter what I say, my kids aren't going to listen, or it doesn't matter what I'm going to do, they're going to try drugs or get hooked on drugs. You know what, parents, they are the biggest, still, believe it or not, the biggest influence on their kids' choices, and they can make a difference. It doesn't have to be put in the too hard basket.
So if people want to know more about the How to Drug Proof Your Kids program, or they'd like to be trained as a trainer, they could ring Focus on the Family.
Well, they could call us. We have a 1300 phone number, 1300 300 361, or they can visit our website, which is www.drugproofingkids.com.
I'd like to welcome back Ruth Kennedy. Ruth is our psychologist who specialises in adolescents and young adults. Ruth, how are you?
Well, thanks, Penny.
Ruth, Glenn was suggesting that parents should not undersell their positive influence in their children's lives. Does that mean if a teenager heads down the path of drug and alcohol abuse, it's the parents' fault?
No, I think that that's a misconception that sometimes has been put out there. And the reality is that sometimes people, and particularly as people are emerging into young adolescence, there's hormonal changes happening in the body. They can be frightening. There might be all sorts of other things happening in their lives that are destabilising them. That's a critical point sometimes for experimentation and use of drugs and alcohol of different sorts. There's peer pressure that might be starting to impact on people. And so it can be totally outside the family. When the family's supportive, they can pick up the cues though, and I think that's where the issue with parenting becomes important. If you're around for your children and your adolescents and your early adults, then you start to see changes. You start to pick up things that just make you feel uncomfortable or unsure of what's going on. But that's where a parent who is there for their children, and it doesn't have to be there all afternoon and all evening, but they're there emotionally for them, and there's a level of support, they will pick things up.
You've also got the concern of addiction, because they might just start experimenting or enjoying something, and then that enjoyment creates a taste, which creates a longing, which creates an addiction.
Yes, it can certainly go down that path, and I guess that tends to be the way things start out. People using start to feel that they've got a level of control over the situation. It might give them a nice sensation or remove them from a difficult environmental situation for themselves for a bit of an emotional release. There may be a sense of having some control back in their life that they don't feel they've got, but they can very quickly move from being just social experimentation or use into something that becomes more covert all becomes something they start to use so much more often that they aren't even picking up themselves, they're losing control over their usage. So the very fact you can be there and try and be supportive, it might be seeing if they can't talk to you, maybe there's someone else in the family network or your close connection socially where they do feel they can talk. It might be a school counsellor, it might be someone in the church that they trust, or a counsellor that you can access. There's all sorts of places, and I think it's been really good to see there's been a real upsurgence in immediate lines of access for support. Some of the ones that I know I've used and encouraged others to use, the ones some people would be aware of, places like Lifeline, and there's a fantastic service called Directline, which provides 24-hour alcohol and drug counselling. It also provides information for parents. If they're not sure, they can ring and ask questions. So can teenagers or young people, if they want to check, am I starting to become dependent on something? Do I need help? And Directline also provide a referral service. They have a really good data bank of all the agencies, and some of those, a good number of them are free, that people can access for getting immediate help. Mm. And it's 24-hour, round-the-clock support, which is wonderful.
Thank you to Ruth Kennedy and Glenn Williams. If you'd like to contact Lifeline or Directline, or are interested in attending a How to Drug Proof Your Kids program, check Women of Hope's website at www.twraustralia.org for details. That's www.twraustralia.org. After the break, Stephen Lanini from the Salvation Army's Homelessness and Support Program.